This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. You know, today I want to encourage you with my message on suffering. Now, it may sound like, how could I possibly be encouraged with a message on suffering? Well, you know, we all face suffering at some point, and it's not easy to go through. But if we're going to go through it, we might as well learn how to do it right. Just like Betty Jo, watch how she learned to keep trusting God during some of the toughest moments in her life. Take a look at this.
Suffering isn't something we volunteer to experience. Many times it's thrust upon us in an instant. Yet the pain can linger in our mind and emotions for what feels like a lifetime. When Betty Ramey's sister died in 2008, she was facing the same grief we are all challenged with, yet her suffering multiplied.
And then my mom passed away in 2009, and then my husband in 2010, and then my best friend, sister-in-law slash sister, in 2011. The emptiness was overwhelming, and I got lost in it, and I got weakened in it. It was just overwhelming.
Every time Betty began to heal from one loss, another key person in her life died, and the pain grew deeper.
It was like being an orphan. It was like being abandoned. It was like finding out the world had come to an end, and you're the only survivor, and you wished that you hadn't.
Betty discovered when you lose the people that supported you through past suffering, you need help to keep you focused on the one who can heal the pain.
You don't have any more physical trust. You don't have any more emotional trust. You don't have any more thinking trust. Reality has shown you its ugliest. The ministry was my way of always keeping God present. I would just journal what the message was about today and what I've applied that to today. And because you could watch the same show 2 years apart and get a completely different message from God from it. So today, this is what Joyce talked about. And today, this is where I applied it.
Betty says her relationship with God deepened when she put into practice what she learned. Reading scriptures were no longer enough. She had to do what they said.
I went into a place of thank you so that I wouldn't go into a place of resentment. Felt like I had lost everything, so I had to start counting my blessings, even when I didn't feel it, even when I didn't believe it. When you've lost what you feel and what is your truth, you've lost everything. You have to dig into a place you've never had to reach before, and it's a new level of trusting.
Betty says it was a long journey from grief, but as she dared to trust God through the pain, she discovered the path to healing. Being lost in her suffering wasn't her only option anymore. She could live again.
Well, you are going to love my message today. I just really believe that you're going to love it. How many of you think you're already going to love it and you don't even know what's going to be on it? Okay. I think I'll turn around backwards while I tell you what it is. Today I'm going to teach on suffering. Now, you know, I really tried to put a cute title on this and I just couldn't come up with anything. So I just thought I'd call it what it is. You know, we all suffer, don't we? And so if we're going to do it, we might as well learn how to do it right. We might as well learn how to do it and get some value out of it while we're on our way. We go through things. It's interesting. I began to realize that Bible preachers and teachers, you know, it's hard to even use that word when you're in the pulpit, to be honest, because people just don't like it. They don't like the word. They don't like the thought of doing it. If there's anything we'd love to get out of in life, it's any kind of suffering or discomfort. And so we've come up with new phrases. Several of them aren't even in the Bible, but it's when you're going through something. Now the Bible talks about that. When you're struggling, when you're having a difficulty, when you're experiencing opposition, when you have a challenge. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, why do we have such a hard time just saying when you're suffering? And so I did a little word study, and I found out that in the King James translation, The word suffering or suffer is in there 165 times. The Amplified Bible ramps it up a little. It's in there 175 times. I looked at one of the most modern, most popular translations, and it's only in there 59 times. And I thought, well, isn't it interesting? I hope that we don't modernize the truth out of the word and get to the point where people don't really know what to expect and aren't prepared for it. You see, I don't apologize for talking about this today, although I did try to get out of it. I did. At one point I was studying this and I thought, oh God, I don't want to go there and do that. I don't want to do that. So I went back. I've got this whole two cabinets full of messages that I've taught over the years. And not that I just go and pull out a message, but sometimes it'll spark an idea in me. So I went back to my messages and I looked at everything and I got this one out and that one out. And I can always tell what's right because it clicks or it doesn't. And it's just like, no, that's not right. That's not right. And I finally just said to God, you're going to make me go do this, aren't you? And so I just want you to know, if you don't like this message today, you talk to God about it because he's the one that's making me do it. Suffering means to leave or to permit, to bear with, or to stay under. You know, the first thing we want to do when we're suffering is we want to run. We want to get away from it some way, shape, or form. But you know what? You got to go through the hard part to get to the good part. And that's really the main thought that I want to leave you with today. You got to go through the hard part to get to the good part. And that doesn't mean the hard part's always fair. Life is not always fair, but God is fair. God is a God of justice, and that's one of my favorite things about the character of God. And justice means that he always makes wrong things right. God always makes wrong things right if, everybody say if, we trust him. And if we handle the wrong thing in the right way. See, so often we don't respond in a godly way when we're going through things like that. And then we just have to keep going through it over and over and over and over in the hopes that eventually we will get it. You know, I suffered so much in my soul in the early years of my walk with God and in the early years of this ministry. And I can actually say that I suffered more when I started trying to grow up in God than I did before I cared. Maybe you know what I mean by that. It's like, I was happy sinning. I mean, I really wasn't happy doing it, but it was like, it's not hard on your flesh to sin. And so when I really got into a serious walk with God, and back in the 70s, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and man, I started reading the Word. And you know, when you really study the Word, you start seeing what a mess you are. You finally have to stop blaming it on somebody else and take a look at yourself, because the Word of God is like a mirror. And you see Christ in there, and you see how far you have to go. So if we're smart and we really love God and we want to do this thing right, we'll start praying, God, change me. Well, oh, honey, that's a dangerous thing to pray. Oh, God, change me. And then we have these, oh, break me, God. Break my heart with what breaks your heart. Make me just like you, Jesus. Oh, man, I feel the pain already. And I just had this pain in my soul all the time, especially like when God would tell me, you know, that's really not Dave's fault, it's your fault. Well, I didn't want it to be my fault. I wanted it to be Dave's fault. And I wanted God to deal with Dave. I didn't want him to deal with me all the time. I remember one time going to Dave and saying, is God dealing with you about anything? Because I was going through such a hard time, and I just wanted to know that God was in Dave's face too. Dave, is God dealing with you about anything? He looked at me, he said, well, I don't think so. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just think, God, can't you pick on anybody besides me? Am I the only one that's got a problem? And so I went through so much all the time. And you know what? I don't really go through that much anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that my life is perfect or that I don't have problems. If any of you were here from the first service, you heard me read my list of 34 things that happened in 8 weeks. none of which were fun. But honestly, they didn't bother me all that much. Because you see, now I want you to hear what I'm going to say. A lot of our suffering is connected to how we respond. Somebody over here thinks they understand me. See, I said that and somebody went. See, honestly, how we respond, we can make a bigger deal out of things than what they are. I mean, is it really the end of the world if I don't get my way about something? Do I really have to get mad at Dave for 3 weeks over that and be depressed and feel sorry for myself? But that's what I used to do, and I suffered. When you get a sweet attitude, you put yourself in God's hands, and you start to really trust him and believe that he's got a good plan for you, a lot of that stuff goes away. The more spiritually mature we become, the more we grow up in God. And it's not easy growing up in God, but the more we grow up in God, the more peaceful our lives become. And so I am just pleading with you today. The Apostle Paul said things to the saints, and he said, I beg you for Christ's sake. And so I'm pleading with you today. Whatever God is trying to do in your life right now, even if you don't understand it, don't run away from it. Trust God. Let him do what he wants to do in you so you can have the life that he really wants you to have. Amen? Now, I got something really funny to read you. I brought one of my journals from 1989. Lord have mercy. Now, I'm going to let you into my personal life for a few minutes. We're going to be really close after this. December the 26th, 1989. Well, Christmas is over. God is good. From a spiritual standpoint, I've been having a really rough time. A lot of things going on for a while that I've just been saying, oh, well, I'm going to cast my care and everything's going to be okay. But today, everything just blew up in my face. Dave and I had a discussion that wasn't good. That means we had a fight. He feels I have to have control or I'm not satisfied. I feel he's wrong and being very unfair. We have a very hard time communicating when we differ in our opinions. But this was the last straw, so to speak. And everything I've been feeling but casting my care about came tumbling in on me, so here it is. I've been having a hard time getting my messages, at least much harder than usual. I've been having a hard time hearing from God. I've been feeling very little anointing. It seems that the more I've pressed into the Spirit, the more God hides himself and requires me to go strictly on faith alone. Is anybody relating to anything I'm saying? Okay. I just had a surgery, and now I've got one more to go. Our attendance in our meetings has fallen off because we're in the holiday season. I've had a lot of weird feelings. My mind is lazy, I feel bored, and I'm discontented. All of this has sort of come at once. I also feel that I just don't know how to pray. I've really had a hard time praying. Today it all seems to be too much. God help me. I feel like I'm going to go under, but I know I probably won't. Well, I trust that you're doing something, underline something, but I sure don't know what it is. Oh, you just wait. Probably wanting a greater degree of abandonment for me, I guess. I'm not sure that I can do it, but I'm willing to let you do it if you want to. Dave always feels I'm at fault, and it's never him. To be honest, this is really hard, underline really hard, on my flesh. But I don't suppose it matters much. It's all pride anyway. Now here comes the really sad part. I'm really sorry to have to report that I've had to tell the Lord tonight that I have gone as far as I can go. I quit. That's it. Done. Finished. 2 years ago, I said, God, take me as deep as you want to. I'm willing to do whatever you need me to do. But I really do not want to go on like this. For the second time, I said, I'm telling you that I have gone as far as I can go. I don't know for sure if I can get out of this. God may not let me out, but I never really thought I would back down. So on top of everything else now, it seems that I am a spiritual coward. I was in a mess, to say the least. December the 26th, 1989. Well, apparently, 9 years later, on December the 20th, 1998, I came across this. So 9 years later, I wrote, I was reading this old notebook and thought I would give you guys an update. Things have changed drastically. I'm now on 375 television stations, 250 radio stations. Come on. Come on, you got to make it through the hard part to get to the good part. Our ministry is very successful. I've changed drastically. I enjoy peace almost continually. I've continued all these years to have some health struggles, but in the midst of it all, God has given me grace to do all He's called me to do. It has been hard at times, but I can say from experience that God is faithful. I have four grandchildren, which are now 11, and I'm one more on the way. My youngest son had just gotten married. Dave and I love each other very much. We get along really good almost all the time. That's what 9 years will do for you. So I hope that me sharing that personal side of my life will help you to realize that we all feel like giving up sometimes. We all go through times where we feel like God is 1 million miles away, when we don't have any idea what He's doing, when we're tired, when we're weary, when we think we just can't go on. But no matter how many times you threaten to give up, I can already tell you that God's not going to put up with that. He'll keep coming after you and 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 keep coming after you. And He's going to work with you and help you be all that He wants you to be, no matter what. So we're going to talk about suffering today because I want you to make it all the way through to the end. You see, the beginning is exciting, the end is exciting for the few who ever get there, but it's the middle that's hard. So we have to take the time to talk about the middle and all the things that you go through that you don't talk to anybody about, or you feel you can't talk to anybody about, because if you did talk to anybody about it, they probably would judge you. And so we keep our secrets and we hide in these dark places and we wonder if we're going to survive. But God is always there with us. He sees everything. He knows everything. And God has got an amazingly, unbelievably good plan for your life. And so I just encourage you to make it through the hard part so you can get to the good part. Amen. Now, the number one reason why people who say they don't believe in God don't believe in God is because they can't understand why there is so much suffering and evil in the world. They say if God is a good God, then why do all these bad things happen? Well, let me just throw out for your consideration today that demanding to know why everything happens is probably about the worst thing in the world that any of us can do. God's not going to give you all the answers. He's not going to give me all the answers. There's going to be things that happen that seem so unfair that you just feel like you can't stand it. I can't explain them all to you. Nobody else can explain them all to you. We can't say we didn't have enough faith, or you this, or you that, or you something else. Because sometimes it seems to be pretty random concerning what happens to who. We recently had a real tragic flood and right in my neighborhood. I was out of town. I mean, it wasn't going to affect our house because we don't live in a low area, but we know people that lost everything. And one of them is a beautiful young girl that works for us. She heads up our medical missions and just has a great heart, hasn't been married all that long, has got a child, or does she have two? She has two by now, and so they lost everything, all the furniture, all the house, everything. And you could probably walk right down the street and there'd be some evil, wicked, miserable person who didn't lose anything. Well, you're not going to figure that out. I mean, saying why is just pretty much useless. And I don't think God wants to hear so many whys. I think he wants to hear, I trust you. I don't understand this. This hurts. I feel like it's going to kill me, but I trust you. And I believe, God, that no matter what happens, you can and will work it out for good if I will keep my eyes on you. Can I tell you that there are a lot of mysteries hidden in God? The Bible talks about the mysteries of God and the mysteries of Christ like numerous times. There's like 9-10 scriptures that you can pull out about the mysteries of God. And in 1 Corinthians, it says, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but the day will come when we will know even as we are known. Some of the things we think we want to know, if we knew, we wouldn't even like what we found out. So we need to trust God that if he wants us to know something, we'll know. And if not, it's not our job to figure it out. It's our job to trust him. I'll tell you what, I feel so sorry for people. I mean, genuinely sorry for people who are so mental that they just can't stand to not have all the answers to everything. It is absolute torment to have to spend your life trying to figure everything out. And I know, because I was the queen of why, God, why. And I'll tell you what you get from that, confusion. Nothing but confusion. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and mind. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, just acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I don't understand why my dad sexually abused me for 15 years. I don't understand why my mother didn't do something about it, why she abandoned me to the situation and was so cowardly she wouldn't confront my dad. I don't understand why God didn't get me out of it, because I was born again as a 9-year-old child and I prayed that God would get me out of there. I mean, I prayed things I probably shouldn't have prayed. I prayed that my dad would die. I prayed that my mother would divorce him. I prayed a lot of things. I just wanted to get out of the suffering. But it didn't happen the way that I wanted it to happen. God didn't get me out of it, but he gave me the grace to go through it. And I'll tell you something, I'm like a bulldog. I mean, I am strong. Amen. And so when you're going through hard things, you got two choices. You can give in and give up, or you can get strong. I love what the Bible says, and I think it's in, see if I can find this real quick. I think it's Psalm 105, 125. We'll see here. See how my memory is. Yep. 105, 18. For it starts with 17. He's talking about Joseph and the things that he went through and how unfair they were. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant and a slave. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron, and his soul entered into the iron. Now, some of you are just like, well, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what. When he had those chains on his feet and his arms, and he was suffering all this stuff that was so unfair and so not right. And he was just a young guy with a dream. I mean, he loved God and he had a dream. The next thing he knew, he was in prison for something he didn't do. He was in chains. But it said, and you know, by the way, there's no evidence in the Bible that Joseph ever had a bad attitude. There's no evidence that he ever did anything except trust God. And the interesting thing was that every place the guy went, God gave him favor and he ended up in charge. I mean, he even ended up in charge of the prison. That's not a bad deal. You know that? But when it says that his soul entered into the iron, what I think about is that that iron, that suffering he was going through, got mixed in with his soul, and it made him so strong inside that he could do everything that God wanted him to do, and ended up being a great blessing to many, 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 multiplied millions of people. So I can just tell you, I got a little iron in my soul. Amen. And I believe that we can do anything that God gives us to do, but the one thing we cannot do is give up when it gets hard. Well, now I want you to remember that we can do anything that God gives us to do, but the one thing we cannot do is give up when it gets hard. Let's learn to say, God, I trust you, and I know it's all going to work out all right. Today, we're offering you Wake Up to the Word. It's our new devotional for this year. We put a devotional out every year, and there's 365 little mini teachings in here that are really going to help you. Put the Word of God first place in your life every day, and you'll find that your life is going to go much better. Today, we're offering you this for your gift to the ministry of any amount. We like to do that from time to time because we want to make sure that everybody can get this. And I know that you're going to do your best. You know, that's what I'm asking you to do. Do your best. Send in your best offering, and we'll send you this as a blessing to you. You know, when we start our day off with God, we're going to have a better day. So start with the Word.
Some mornings, everything just goes right. Others, not so much. But let's face it. How you wake up each morning has a tremendous impact on your day. That's why Joyce wants you to wake up to the Word. Today, we're offering Joyce's devotional, Wake Up to the Word, for your donation of any amount. Call right now, 1-800-727-9673, or visit joycemeyer.org.
So the Bible is God's manual to help us navigate life. But life often gets in the way of knowing the Bible, finding the time, knowing where to begin, and discovering what this all means to you. We understand, and we'd like to help. At joycemeyer.org/study, you'll find free resources to help you get more out of the Bible, whether you're a new Christian or have been walking with Christ for years. So jump in today. The Word. It's free, it's mobile, and it's tailored for you at joycemeyer.org.
If I were to ask you if you love your life, what would your answer be? I believe that Jesus wants us to love our lives. But if you don't like what you've got, continuing to do the same thing is not going to give you a different outcome. And I want to encourage you today to get my new book called Living a Life That You Love and see what the changes are that you can make that will start to give you wonderful results in your life. Why not get your copy today?
You know, I've just been wondering lately, what is it that makes a person want to leave the comfort and monotony of home to come someplace crazy like this and do a medical clinic? Well, let's ask the volunteer doctors and nurses who do it all the time.
Seeing the world is awesome. It's always a great adventure.
Because the kids are so amazing.
I do this because God put it in my heart to help others.
Because it's life-changing.
We love it. It's awesome.
Because it's really fun.
So what do you think? It can't hurt to at least check it out, right? All you need to do is go to our website, joycemeyer.org. All the information is there for you. And just think, your adventure may begin today.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.